And Chris Smith, the senior producer of WGBH for Nova, the highest rated science series and the most watched documentary series on public television, joins us now. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Well, let's pick up where Edward Snowden left off, who's really setting the pace for us. Help us understand some of the science and technology and really going from Stuxnet Worm to the Sony Pictures hacking to the recent assault on German government websites. Take us through some of that and help us understand where we really are at and what is the nature of the investigation that Nova's doing for its upcoming program.
Sure. Well, so, you know, there's been a lot of talk in the press in various outlets about cyber war and hacking and so on. And first of all, Nova is going to try to explain what the science and technology is behind all this stuff that people are hearing about. Now, it's a tricky topic because you know, you mentioned the Sony hack and Stuxnet, and those things are extremely different in terms of what was involved in them and what the effect was, et cetera. I mean, just briefly, Stuxnet was a computer worm, a self-replicating computer program that was introduced into the Natanz uranium enrichment facility in Iran surreptitiously, and it was designed to hide itself, and it was designed to basically mess with the high-speed centrifuges, which are used to separate uranium isotopes in order to enrich their uranium cache to make uranium that was more effective as either a fuel or a bomb. Nobody's ever taken responsibility officially for that attack, although it's widely assumed that it was the United States and some have said Israel who were behind it. That piece of computer code was extremely sophisticated. It was designed to operate only in that facility and to do damage only in that facility. It was also designed to hide itself. It had a lot of other features that were pretty pretty sophisticated. The Sony hack was essentially, from what I understand, somebody, and you know, the FBI and others have reported that North Korea was somehow behind this, but somebody got a hold of the login credentials of a senior systems administrator at Sony and essentially used that to get into the network and to start exfiltrating data and personal information. So those are very different sorts of attacks. One had, the Stuxnet attack had actual, did actual physical damage to the Natanz enrichment facility. The Sony hack was embarrassing and perhaps caused some economic damage or disruption, as Edward Snowden says. As far as we know right now, the physical infrastructure attacks, like the Stuxnet attack, are very there haven't been very many of them. The only two, in fact, that we know for sure were computer-driven physical attacks were the Stuxnet attack, and then recently there was an attack against a German steel mill that caused a blast furnace to be destroyed. We don't know a lot about that. The German government hasn't released a lot of information about it. There may have been other attacks that we're not aware of that have been taken to be industrial accidents. There's been some suspicious pipeline explosions over the years, things like that, in Turkey and in Russia. At any rate, what Nova is going to attempt to do is to try to explain how this stuff works, what the threat is, potentially how it can be, how we can defend against it, and you know, where we're sort of headed, I guess. Long-winded answer to a short question.
Well, not at all. Not at all. But how do you assess the capacity of state actors for destructive acts through cyber attacks? I mean, what is really the science of that, the potential, and how do you assess what our concerns should be?
Well, that's obviously a very complicated question, and the threat varies from target to target and from bad guy to bad guy, so to speak. So, for example, the United States is widely considered to be one of the most connected societies in terms of the number of computers that are connected to the internet, the importance of the internet to everything from I just made a deposit while I was waiting for you to call to my kids' high school lunch account on the internet. You know, we use the internet for a tremendous amount of our commercial and entertainment activities, and any internet activity is obviously dependent on some kind of a computer. Some computers we're familiar with, you know, the desktop computers, things with mouse and keyboard and screen. But there are a lot of computers, an increasing number of computers in our lives that don't have screens, that we don't interact with in the way that we interact with our cell phones or desktop computers or laptops. But all computers are operating some sort of computer code, and every time you connect a computer to the internet, you're opening a door potentially for someone to insert computer code into that computer and get it to do something it wasn't meant to do or intended to do. That action is widely considered to be an attack by people in the computer security world, even if it doesn't cause physical damage or even if you don't know that it's going on. And so in that regard, you know, citizens of the United States, people living in North America, are extremely vulnerable to nefarious and malicious activities in their lives through this agency of attack on computers. The difficulty of attacking, however, is that it's pretty hard to come up with a generic way to breach security that will just sort of enter every single computing device and do something to it. There's a huge variety. It's almost like you can almost make an analogy to the biological realm. There are a huge variety of organisms or computers out there, and they all have their own defense mechanisms. Some are good, some are bad. So for the average person to be worried about, being simply somehow hacked so that somebody's stealing your information or spying on you through the camera on your computer, you know, there's safety in numbers. It's like being in a herd. There's the odds of that are fairly low. Increasingly, though, there's a fear that some bad guy, some state actor, somebody with a lot of time and money behind their efforts, could do something like take down key power generating stations in the United States, take out the power grid, for example. And, the knock-on effects of that could be devastating because, again, we are so dependent on not only the electrical power grid, but the internet that it drives. So the threat, I think, is real. It's not, it's easily overblown, but it's something that we have to start to pay attention to and think about.
You were talking to me the other day about the fact that, there's about 100 embedded computers in any one of our new cars.
Yeah.
And so the implications and the potentials would seem enormous, and yet you've also suggested that scientifically it is not that easy as people have been led to believe. We've not got the person of interest computer that sees all, knows all, and can completely control at the click of a scorpion button what our lives are going to be looking like, or taking down a power grid, for example?
Well, you know, I mean, the documents in Edward Snowden's archive, some of them suggest that the NSA wants to have, possibly has, the capability to look at the internet from a sort of 30,000 feet, to see the entire global internet, and to be able to drill down and see the packets of information that are flowing from point to point to point. Now, if that's true, that's a tremendous amount of power in the sense that, they're able to see and reveal activity globally. If that's really true, there's a tremendous amount of power in that. Now, there's a big difference between being able to see all that activity and traffic and actually be able to step into the middle of it and affect the computer, the CPU, in any one of the nodes along the way. So hold that thought. We're, as you said, in a car, I've read maybe 100 embedded computer devices. There are things that, everything from stuff that regulates the flow of air into the engine to, you know, the radio, the entertainment system. These things are all connected together on a central bus in the car that transfers information from system to system. Some people have shown that you can hack into that bus and do things like shut off the engine or cause it to speed up or do other sort of nasty things. Now, the issue is, how do you get into that bus? Some cars are equipped with wireless connectivity to off-site repair or service centers. And some people have shown that you can sort of hack into that, but you'd have to make the effort to go after one specific car in order for that to work. The bigger fear are things that are called PLUs or PLCs, programmable logic controllers or programmable logic units, which are essentially computer-controlled switches that are connected to everything from assembly lines in factories to power-generating stations. And they simply allow somebody in a central office or a central location within a factory or at some distance from the factory to affect and control the efficiency and the operation of that center. But by getting all that efficiency and control, they also basically create a vulnerability to somebody who can get into that system and do nasty things. And that's how the Stuxnet attack worked in Iran. So you're right. Nobody has the ability to push one button and affect all the computers downstream. But you can see how if the NSA has a global view of internet traffic, and there are connections, more and more connections everywhere, not only in our factories and power stations, but increasingly in our homes. You start to see that there's a jigsaw puzzle coming together where someone armed with the right tools and the right will could, you know, start to create some widespread problems.
So if you can further elaborate on some of the intricacies and some of the hang-ups and some of the risks of cyber war, which NOVA is continuing to investigate and will result in some months to come in a very comprehensive program, as all of the NOVA programs are.
Well, we're going to try to help people understand how this can affect them, you know, sort of theoretically, how it might affect something like the power grid, and also how it could affect, you know, where the vulnerabilities are at home. I think what most people, we're going to start with just basically the idea that most people don't realize when they're using their computer and they're using a word processor or a mail program or a browser, that even behind those programs, there are dozens or even hundreds of small programs, drivers, other helper programs that are running invisibly to the user in the background. So most of these cyber attacks or exploits have to do with somehow getting a program running in the background on a target computer that the user doesn't know about or want there. And people fall for things called phishing attacks, where you'll get an email that'll say, hey, click on this right here and you'll get XYZ prize, or we need your password from, you know, it looks like it's from your bank. These are fairly unsophisticated attacks that you click on it and it loads a piece of software on your computer, or you fill out some information form thinking you're helping your bank, but the information is actually going to a bad guy who then uses it to hack into something that normally only you would have access to. These kinds of very unsophisticated attacks we're going to try to explain in the NOVA. We're going to try to show how, you know, if you buy a thermostat for your house that is connected to the internet so that you can control your house's temperature from work, once that has been set up, there's a potential weakness there that somebody who knows the right kind of, the architecture of that piece of equipment can get into it and mess with your thermostat or whatever. The problem is that all these different vendors in the home are embracing security with different levels of seriousness. So we'll try to explore that a little bit. We've been lucky enough to get into a power company who is showing us really where the vulnerability is, where how somebody could come in with a cyber attack from a distant location and destroy power generating capacity in a power station. Not just knock it offline, but destroy it so that equipment that might take a year to replace would be basically just turn into slag. Luckily, these people are also going to show us how these kinds of attacks could be thwarted pretty simply. And the whole reason that they're letting us in the door to talk about this stuff is that this is a power company that thinks that the rest of the power companies in the United States are not taking this seriously enough, and they're trying to raise the alarm bell, both as citizens and also as members of a community of power companies. So we're going to try to, you know, show how it works, but at the same time, not just try to scare people, as, you know, some of the media outlets do, try to make it a realistic assessment of what the threats are and be realistic about what can be done in order for us to protect ourselves.
And I want to mention that the complete, unedited 25-page transcript of the Edward Snowden interview, along with the four-minute video excerpt that we played, is featured on the Nova homepage. And absolutely a must read. And I really want to thank you for the investigation and some of the introduction for some of us who are catching up to the technology and beginning to understand the implications. And Chris Smith, thanks for the work that you do and spending some time with us this morning.
Okay, thanks very much.